I'm going to do something a bit different today. So if you have read in the booklet what we think we're at today, we're not. As elders, we normally decide, it's normally in about September time, I'll be saying to the other guys, right, what we're going to preach through for the following year. Normally we make a suggestion and we talk about that and we think about that. And then I end up going away and planning out that over the course of the kind of however long it will be, is and writing the guide. And when it's a big book like Matthew, we accept we're not going to look at every passage, but we pick some out and do most of them, or the thread of it, or the thrust of it. And today I want to speak from a passage in Matthew, but not the passage that's in the kind of the booklet. So home group leaders, my prayers are with you for Wednesday. I wrote about three quarters of the sermon, but it just didn't feel right at all. And so I started over, went back to the chapter, and I'm excited to talk about these different verses. The irony of that is that we should have been thinking this morning about the parable of the sower and about the seed that lands on different types of soil. And I got a whole thing in there about preparing the ground ready to hear. And I was talking about Sundays, you know, read the passage before you come and invite God to speak to you. And here I am now doing something very different, but never mind. So Matthew chapter 13, it's still in chapter 13, but verses 31 to 33 is what we're going to think about. And Kath, thank you for sharing about that couple in Niger. Yeah, that's it. I've even forgotten that bit. I don't know them. I know the church that they're from in Nottingham, but what we've already heard in terms of that, the kind of the seed is a little bit we're going to think about this morning. So Matthew 13, verse 31 to 33. He, which is Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. And though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants. And then it becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed it into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Okay, little things can make a big difference, can't they? Little things can make a small difference. I am not a gardener at all. If I go into the garden with anything other than the lawnmower, normally within about 5 seconds, Jane wants to know what am I doing, why am I doing it, and do I know how to do it? If I dare continue with the task, I soon have a shadow with a look of mild disapproval and mostly fear, like what plant am I going to cut down unwittingly? I am not a gardener at all. But in January, I bought a pack of chili seeds. I don't know why, I just thought that would be a good idea. And I put them in pots, and I've now got about 7 chili plants happily growing in the greenhouse. I'm not sure what I'm going to do with the chilies, but I'm enjoying the process. Chili seeds are tiny, like tiny, tiny things, but they are slowly producing fire because they're going to add heat to whatever it is that they end up in. But here, Jesus is telling us that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, a small seed. Now, if you are a gardener, you'll know that actually there are seeds smaller than mustard seeds, but yet Jesus is the smallest of seeds. And he's using that, he's using the language that they're familiar with. Mustard seeds were a common analogy of describing something that was small, okay? And so Jesus is using the perception that they have, even if it's not kind of technically accurate. He's using the language that they understand. And sometimes we do that, don't we? We use language that we understand or language that the audience understands in order to make the point that we want people really to understand. And so a mustard seed, a small seed, but it grows into the largest of plants in the garden. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes that society and the society that we live in can be obsessed with size and with power. We're obsessed with the famous, the rich, the powerful, the strong, the clever, the influential, the beautiful, the cool, the new, the trendy, the biggest. Our attention is drawn to those things. What are the rich and the powerful doing? What do they have to say? What's their comment? What's their view? Irrespective of whether they know what they're talking about. But yet God says that the kingdom of heaven is small. Or at least that's the way that he describes it at the beginning. It's small like a mustard seed. And so maybe we need to rethink where and what we put our value in. What do we think is valuable? Sometimes we are obsessed about wealth and greatness and might and power and strength. But yet Jesus says that the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, the tiniest of all seeds. Do we put value in small things or in big things? Sometimes even within the Christian world, we fall for the same lie. Big churches can often be seen as where it's at. Smaller churches thought of as lacking something. Or maybe we can't quite define it, but we've concluded that there is something missing in a smaller church that's very evidently in a big church. But the reality is that causes us a whole bunch of other problems, because if the size of the average church in the UK is about 35 people, then we can therefore dangerously conclude that God only works in a very, very small number of churches in our land. And we know that's not true, and we certainly don't want that to be true, do we? So God evidently works in small things. That doesn't mean that big is bad, big is not bad, but there is perhaps great overlooked power in the small, overlooked power in small things. For the kingdom of God is like a small seed. Not says me, but says Jesus. But maybe with the right conditions, grows to make a huge impact. I planted these chili seeds in a little pot and I watered them and put them somewhere to get a little bit of sunshine. And now they're in a bigger pot and I've added a bit more compost and I'm looking after them. You nurture them, don't you, if you're trying to grow something. And the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that somebody, she just says, puts in the ground, and they nurture it and they look after it. If I don't water those seeds, they're going to shrivel up and die. And so you water something and you give it nutrients and you give it the right conditions because you want it to grow. And we want the kingdom of heaven to grow, don't we? And so if we, as we've thought already this morning, are image bearers of Christ and those that are carriers of the person of the Holy Spirit, for which and from which the kingdom of God is going to grow, then we have to nurture our own soul, don't we? We have to water what's going on in our own life. We've got to take on strength and nutrients and good things into our own life. We've got to prepare the ground of those that we're seeking to witness to, because with the right conditions, it can have a huge impact, can't it? It can have a massive impact. And so the kingdom of God is like a small mustard seed, but seeds are designed to grow into something else. And so we don't want it to stay, well, God, you gave me a mustard seed and here it is. No, he wants a big plant that grows into a tree that the birds can nest in. And so there is something that we need to notice and not be afraid of in the small and the ordinary, but we don't want it to stay that way. We have to nurture it and look after it and feed it and water it and spread it and share it in the hope that it grows and grows and grows. For mustard seeds are ordinary. They're overlooked, not noticed for anything, but they're packed with power. And if I'm making a curry, the mustard seeds, they go in and there's a power in them. Power to be transformative, power to be productive. What does that show us? It shows us that God is powerful. We know this and we believe this. God is mighty to save. He's mighty to heal and to transform lives. And we see that in our time, but we long to see more, don't we? We long to see and hear more stories of the radical power and transforming life of God. We want to see more of that. So much so, sometimes we can get frustrated, can't we? When we don't see rapid change, when we don't see rapid growth, when we don't see immediate and dramatic answers to prayer. But I wonder here if Jesus is at least in part telling us that his kingdom is different to the world. His kingdom is different to the world. We live in a world that wants instant, dramatic, and wow moments. The bigger, the better, the louder, the brighter, the increasingly extravagant. And yet Jesus says his kingdom is like a mustard seed. It's tiny, but determined to grow. And are we approaching our walk with Jesus going, well, I feel tiny, but I'm determined for it to grow? When we think about our church, do we think, well, we're more than twice the size of the average church in the UK, but we want to grow? We want to see more. We want to see more people come to know Jesus in Hollywood and Withal. We want to see more people come to praise the name of the Saviour. We're determined to grow. A mustard seed, if allowed and enabled to grow, forms a massive plant. And likewise, we can see all around us, the kingdom of God is growing and it will keep growing and it will hit a point where everybody sees it, where everybody sees. God said to be saying, build your kingdom here and let the darkness fear. That's what we want, isn't it? We want the kingdom of God to so grow and to grow and to grow in Hollywood and Withal that it drives out the darkness, that it pushes the darkness out. But it starts small. And sometimes we've got to say, yeah, it's okay for it to start small, but we're going to look after it and we're going to will it and we're going to pray for it and we're going to want it to grow. Jesus, remember, started a worldwide movement, didn't he, with 12 disciples, 12 ordinary, overlooked, and sometimes hated young men. Jesus himself was from a place that was too small to be on a map and died in a backwater, naked and hanging on a cross. But now he has followers all over the world. The church is growing even in places now where it is illegal for it to exist. The kingdom of God starts as a mustard seed, but it grows. Grows. John Stott, the famous kind of preacher theologian, said that we do not need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come because he came at Pentecost and he's never left. But sometimes we admit, don't we, that maybe this is just me. We'd like him to jump up and down a bit though, wouldn't we? He's here. We know he's here. We know he rests within us. It's what gives us that inexplainable and inexpressible joy, that peace when the whole world seems shaken. But sometimes we'd like to feel him a little more. Sometimes we'd like to be able to talk about him a little more freely. We'd like to see his power at work, that people would be saved, that the church would grow. If the mustard seed is like the kingdom of God, then the mustard seed is now at least a considerable plant, for it is growing. It's growing. And we can point to that and celebrate that. But yet, perhaps this morning, if you feel small, if you feel unseen, not noticed, unwanted, and of generally no consequence or value, then stop thinking that. Stop it. Because it's a thief of the truth, and a thief of joy. For being small is not what the world has told us it is, says the man who stands 5'7" in his shoes. Being small is not what the world has told us it is. But Jesus says that the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. It grows. It grows. I've mentioned New Day a lot over the last 12 months, and it must be about less than 70 days now till New Day. It's a great thing, a youth festival, about 11,000 people. It's incredible, but it's not the number of people that make it incredible. It's the power of God that makes it so. And we need to look and celebrate God and his power and his might. For the mustard seed is ordinary. Norwich Showground is grass in a flatland. Ordinary. But yet the power of God makes great things happen there. A small and everyday seed. But it'll make a plant and then it'll make a tree. Big enough for the birds to sit in. A simple tree for food and for flavour. It will never be cut down to make an ocean vessel, but it's incredibly practical and powerful. It's essential, albeit not impressive in the eyes of the world. But neither was Jesus, with no stately form or majesty or beauty to attract us to him. We shall come on to the yeast in a moment, but yeast was a negative in that culture. The children of Israel threw away the yeast. Jesus told the people to be wary of the yeast of the Pharisees. But yet here Jesus likens the kingdom of God to things that are ordinary and discarded, and then points to their potential for impact. Many people will perhaps avoid the church, avoid Christians, not want to go anywhere near, and be thrown away and of no consequence or irrelevance to their lives. But then Jesus points to the incredible potential for impact within the church, within God's people. When for Jesus to talk about something that society had rejected, but yet point to its power, I think that's deliberate. I don't think that's a slip of the tongue. It's not a muddle of his metaphor. So if you feel small, Jesus doesn't think you're small. He sees you as a carrier of the Holy Spirit and able to grow. If you feel discarded and unimpressive in the eyes of the world, Jesus sees you and he thinks you have a mighty impact to make for the kingdom of God. For the small can grow to a tree and the birds will nest in its branches and find shelter and food in the tree. The original hearers of this parable that Jesus told were Jewish listeners, and they would have heard the echoes of Daniel 4 and Ezekiel 17. They will have heard the echoes of a tree in which the birds nest, and they will see that the kingdom of God is for everyone. Everyone, even the people of Niger. For God has plans, doesn't he? And God has purposes and provision and shelter for all of us, for all of you. But the start of it can look unassuming. And so maybe when we sing a song that says, build your kingdom here, and maybe we look around the room and maybe it's apt today, it's a holiday week and there's lots of people away, and we go, really, Lord, is that really going to happen here? There's only a bunch of us. Room's half empty. Really, is that going to happen? Well, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which is small. A kingdom of God is like the yeast that was discarded and thrown away. Absolutely. Build your kingdom here. Absolutely. So if you want the dramatic and the explosive and the rapid, then sometimes they do happen. Sometimes God moves in dramatic and rapid and explosive ways, but invariably it's patience and steady growth. John Calvin comments on this parable that the Lord opens his reign with a feeble and despicable commencement for the express purpose that his power may be fully illustrated in its unexpected progress. I believe that God wants to make unexpected progress through us in this area of Hollywood and Withal. There is no other kingdom, there is no other explanation for the growth of Christ's kingdom than other than it being the work of God. How do we have the opportunities that we have to talk about Jesus in our community? Well, it's the work of God. It's his hand that's opened the door to enable us to go through. The continued existence and growth of the church is a powerful confirmation that his gospel is true and is at work in our land. The kingdom of heaven is also like yeast. Are there any bread makers in the room? One or two? I've never made bread. I occasionally make pizza dough. That's more popular in our house. And you have to add a bit of yeast to the mixture. And again, what is yeast? If you used it, you'll know. If you haven't, it's tiny, tiny kind of little seeds. But yet you put the yeast in. You add the yeast to your mixture. It gets mixed into everything. And what does it do? It changes everything. It impacts the whole dough. I think that this is showing us that we, as members of the kingdom of God, when we go out and we're scattered into our community can be changed by the presence of God in our lives and us standing physically in those places. Because the power of the gospel doesn't just impact our life. It doesn't just impact your life. He doesn't just want to change you. He wants to change the lives of the people around you. And so the Holy Spirit being in you as you go out into the world impacts the world around you. This is not about us doing our own thing in the power of God, but God doing his thing through us. The yeast enters the dough and it transforms it. The Spirit enters our soul and it transforms us. He brings power and strength. And we to then go back and out into our communities that we've come from and bring that transformation. What is the relevance of you being here this morning? Well, one, to praise and give glory to God. Second, to be a source of encouragement to those sat in the church with you. But also that it encourages you and fills you up and inspires you that as you go back into the work, hopefully not tomorrow, I hope you get a day off, but as you go back into your workplace, as you go back into your communities on Tuesday and the day after and the day after, that you act as the yeast of the kingdom in the places where you go, that you impact everything and bring about transformation. We need to be mixed into the community. We don't stay separate. We don't hide away. We don't stay in a bubble. We get stuck in to our community, living for Jesus alongside our neighbours. alongside our families, alongside our workmates, our mates at school or at college. When I put yeast in my dough, if I'm making pizza dough, I can see it. I tip it in, I can see it. And then I mix it in, and then I wait. And when I go back to it, it's proved. And I can't see the yeast anymore. But I just see its transformative effect, because the whole thing has risen. The yeast was sacrificed so as to change the dough. We can see its transformative effect. And we, as image bearers of Christ and carriers of the person of the Holy Spirit, we are like this yeast and we're meant to go out into our community and bring about whole-scale transformation. We're meant to touch everything and everyone. Jesus was sacrificed in order to bring about change to us in our lives. And we're sometimes called to make sacrifice, to make that same sacrifice, to be the kingdom people, to bring change and transformation to the communities that we are a part of. So are you this week prepared to mix with your community about you, in your street, in your workplace? Can't say school and college, but you know what I mean. Are you prepared to be mixed in, to be an agent of change, to point to Jesus, to bring transformation and growth in the places where you go? Are you prepared to get stuck in? Are you prepared to be patient? When I'm making pizza, normally the kids are like, when can I make it? When can I make it? Just wait. It's got to do its thing. It's got to prove. Are we prepared to be agents of the kingdom? And then are we prepared to wait and let God do its work, let the Spirit do his work in us and through us? Prepared to let the Spirit move and jump up and down in our hearts and in our church? Then I believe that we can see the transformation of God in our community, in our time, in our land. For this is how Jesus says the kingdom works. It's not that I believe we can then see transformation because it's just what I think or it just sounds like a cool soundbite to give you, but it's what God says, isn't it? It's what Jesus says. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast. Spread it and it grows. Let's go out and be spread and wait for it to grow. Jesus himself did this first, for he is our savior and he is our example. John 1 verse 14, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Jesus moved in. He came to us so as to bring about change in our world. But it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. The work of transformation is often slow and it requires persistence. And we have to nurture it. We have to have healthy rhythms of life, meaning prayer and worship and fellowship and rest and intention, seeking of the Spirit and desiring of the gifts. We have to avoid chasing the new and the exciting, avoid copying what another is doing. For I think when we do that, we miss the beauty of God at work in the small things. We miss what God is doing in the here and now if we have our eyes gazing somewhere else. Don't chase the new and the big and the extravagant, but chase after the Spirit and what he wants to do in you and through you in the places that he has put you. I love being at Monday Club. I especially love it at this time of year. For the kids are always collected at the door. We make the parents stand outside, rain or sunshine. They stand outside and the kids go out to them. But at this time of year, when the sun shines, the kids run around on that grass at the front of Sims Lane and the parents stand there talking. And I often love to go out and just chat with people and just get to know them a little bit and talk to them about what they're doing and what they're going to do in the holiday. And I was talking with a couple of mums this last Monday, and one of them said, I can't believe how much goes on here. I can't believe how much you do. God is on the move. The kingdom is growing, and sometimes it's slow and it feels methodical. But you miss it if your gaze has been distracted by the new and seemingly more dramatic. But look for where God is at work and get involved in what God is doing. Do not grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time, there will be a harvest. Galatians 6 verse 9. There will be a harvest. It might not look like it sometimes, but it is coming. It's coming. So So obviously some of them are out in the groups, but shout out to the creche leaders and the Sunday school and Bible class teachers. Personal thanks to the youth leaders. Much love to the Monday Club team. You know I think you're ace. There is a harvest coming. Not because I say so, not just because I want it to be true, but because Jesus said so. We can't force it. But if you are giving of yourselves consistently and patiently, being in the midst, mixing in, bringing inside out transformation, being yeast in the dough, longing for the kingdom to be on earth as it is in heaven, make way because the kingdom is coming. There will be a harvest. Don't give up, but keep going. Be patient. Trust the Father. Rest in the Pentecost power, for he is working his purposes out. The passage meant for today was the parable of the sower. And perhaps the link today for us is to prepare the ground and then throw more seed. For at Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit upon his people and the disciples were given great power and boldness. And what happened? The church was born. I think today we need a fresh filling of the Spirit and we need to be seed throwers, kingdom gardeners, growth agents, community changers and harvest reapers. Zechariah 4, verse 6, there is a work for us all to be doing, and it's not by might or power, but by the Spirit. I think there's a harvest. Are we prepared to seek the Spirit more in our own lives, prepare the soil, prepare the ground in our own hearts and minds? And then as we go out into the world, be yeast to mix and to be spread, that everywhere we go, it changes. Everywhere it go, it grows to become something beautiful. That the kingdom of God grows and expands before our very eyes. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the way he understood language that they would understand, and that's the language that he used. He knew what they would think of. He knew what they would see when he talked about the mustard seed and he talked about the yeast. He knew that they would know it was small and insignificant and often discarded. But yet you were going to use those very things to bring about a kingdom. And so, Father, I pray that if we see ourselves as being small and insignificant and often discarded, that you want to speak to us and you want to say that we are the very people that you want to use to see your kingdom grow and advance in our time. Lord, I thank you that the kingdom of God is growing and it's growing all over the world, even in places where there is fear and persecution, even in places where to profess your name is simply illegal. The kingdom is advancing. And Lord, I pray that this morning we thank you that as Christians, we already have the power of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, we pray for a fresh outpouring of your Spirit in our hearts, in our church, and in our land. And that we can go out as image bearers of Christ, as carriers of the person and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that we would see our kingdom grow, that we would multiply and mix in and grow. And that the yeast would be, that the dough would be transformed as we mix amongst it. That the church would grow as the tree grows. And people would come and find rest and shelter and provision and joy in the name of the Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you that there's a harvest to be brought in, not just because we want there to be so, but because you have said that there is. Lord, I pray that we would see a harvest and that we'd have our hand on the plow and bring it in. And that we would see lives transformed for their good, but ultimately for the glory of the Lord Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords. Fill us again today, we pray, that we may go out this week and see the kingdom grow. Father, we thank you. Amen. Amen.